So you want to bank locally, but switching is hard. And it's tough to find a local modern bank with all the bells and whistles. That's Broadway Bank. We have fast online account opening, an award-winning app with tons of five-star reviews, quick online decisions for home and auto lending, a call center with Broadway bankers here in Texas. Yes, all the capabilities of those faraway big banks, but Broadway is locally sourced and personally delivered. Get started at Broadway.bank. Accounts and loans subject to change without notice and are subject to bank verification, eligibility, and qualification review. See website for details. Equal housing lender.
You don't need to be a lawyer to benefit from a legal education, especially in fields like healthcare. At Texas A&M School of Law, we built our online Master of Legal Studies specifically to give non-lawyers like you a competitive edge. With a focus on health law policy and management, you'll gain a better understanding of the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Get the legal skills it takes to get ahead in healthcare at Texas A&M School of Law. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
I'm deciding whether or not I want to go with this premise that now I'm working under is that there's no such thing as the Republican Party anymore. Republican Party doesn't exist. It's just varying degrees of Democrat. And the only thing that's giving me pause about this, my friends, is that, you know, we've got guys out there like Ted Cruz, like Congressman Jim Jordan. We've got Devin Nunes. We've got a lot of good conservatives who are still working in the trenches in the states and in the federal government, but they're waning. And as a matter of fact, all of those people have made enemies of the majority of the Republican leadership. We've got it here in the state of Texas as well. We've got a lot of individuals who are left-leaning Republicans in the Texas State House, those individuals who want to give Democrats a say in how government runs that they didn't earn at the ballot box. And I can't shake this feeling that There is a predicate we're being asked to accept in this country, that when we're talking about elections, there's something called a red mirage, but there's never something called a blue mirage. You know what they mean by a red mirage? The red mirage is when the election results come in, you get this massive lead for Republicans, but as the vote count drags on and on and on, that count goes down and down and down, and the lead dwindles until finally the Democrat takes the lead and then the counting stops. So, but it never works in the reverse. We're being told that that's the way it's always going to work. There's no such thing as a blue mirage. It's always a red mirage. And we're being asked to accept this. And a lot of the people who are accepting this and nodding in agreement are people called Republicans. Republicans who say, you know what? We've got to reach across the aisle to whenever we get in power, we must enable our Democrat friends. But whenever they get in power, they get to run the whole kit and caboodle, and they don't ask us for crap. They don't look to us to make sure that that we have, as conservatives or Republicans, representation inside of government that we didn't earn at the ballot box. It's never reciprocated. So I got into some analysis of the 2022 election with a couple of great folks, a conservative by the name of Congressman Doug Collins and a Republican strategist by the name of Aaron Perini, also a conservative. So, I mean, this discussion is, we did it the week of the election. So some of the stuff you're going to hear referenced is going to be a little dated, but I still think this stuff has to be discussed so we can chart a course forward. I have no interest in supporting a Republican Party that wants to normalize the deviancy of Democrats. I have no interest in voting for a Republican who votes for Democrats. I have no interest in that. But you know what? Mitch McConnell says that's the kind of Republican we need inside of the Congress. Liz Cheney is that kind of Republican. Adam Crying Kinsinger is that kind of Republican. Lisa Murkowski is that kind of Republican who says, you know what? Elect us because we're going to enable Democrats. And sorry, folks, that just doesn't do it for me. Maybe it does it for you, but it doesn't do it for me. So I think that this discussion, and perhaps a divorce, must happen. We've got to do some analyses and decide where the folks on the right, where we're going to go. Time was, it was the Republican Party was the home of conservatism. That time is gone, in particular with leaders like Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and others across the country, again, that have not pissing off Democrats as their main priority. And I'm just not there, folks. I don't like socialism. I don't like communism. And I think we ought to be rejecting those backward economic systems that lead to even more backward ideological governance. I have nothing in common with the Democrat Party anymore. I have nothing in common with the extremist left. I love this country. I love my freedoms. I love free speech. They do not believe in protecting everybody's free speech, only their own. So these discussions have to take place, and I guess right now is as good a time as any. It's the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
I want to bring on, first off, one of my favorites. I still wish he was in Congress because he'd be doing still a lot of great work there, but he's also fantastic. If you watch Newsmax election coverage, Congressman Doug Collins joining us right now on the phone. Also, Aaron Perini, also part of Newsmax fabulous election night coverage, which, by the way, was just massive in the ratings. And you guys contributed a lot to it. Welcome to the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
Great to be here.
Okay, first off, look, I don't know how much of that last call you guys heard when you were on standby, but look, I think it's fair to have an analysis over, as this discussion now is going to pivot inevitably to 2024, you know, who's doing it right, who's doing it wrong. Trump has a great record, and I think so does Ron DeSantis. Congressman Collins, how do you see this?
Well, I think what you see, and I heard a little bit of it, is when you have anybody, I don't care where you're at, they say, I don't like X, just play fill in the blank, but I have no idea about them. Then that's just, I mean, let's just be fair. That's what gets you in trouble. And I think it's also what we need to avoid. Look, we need to have a good, robust debate on what is right within our conservative movement. Ron DeSantis is doing some great things. Donald Trump did some great things. Let's have that robust discussion, because it's not the choir we need to be singing to. We need to be singing to people who are skeptical, who say, why should we continue, or why should we look away from what we've known to a conservative movement? That's when our best ought to shine, and we ought to be giving them those reasons instead of worrying about fighting internally. Nobody gives, about that. They will only care about themselves. We got to learn that better.
Yeah, amen to that. And Aaron, I'm still licking the wounds from the red wave that wasn't. I still think it's a little premature to be talking about the 2024 sweepstakes. That being said, I think it is fair to say that President Trump and Governor DeSantis are clear favorites at this point in this stage of the game. And it's fair to have this discussion at some point, yes?
Absolutely, it's fair to have this discussion. That's why we have a primary process. But we are still very much in the throes of the 2022 midterm election. We are still in this cycle. We are definitely going to see a runoff in Georgia December 6th. All eyes need to be on that. We need to have a firewall. Every Republican needs to be out there knocking doors, getting engaged, making sure we have the most aggressive ground game and voter turnout, because we need a firewall against the Biden agenda. So Republican bickering and politics and the 2024 cycle, it will happen. This is why we have primaries, but we are not done in this election. And so anything other than that, it's premature right now.
Yeah, and folks, that's why MSNBC gets out there and crowns DeSantis the new leader of the Republican Party. Morning Brzezinski did that because they want the political infighting. Why? Because it advantages the socialists. It advantages the Democrats. So I think Aaron, as a GOP strategist, is onto something. That being said, we got Jason Miller, who is the founder of Getter, which we are live streaming on right now, guys, and in a simulcast with the Voice of Texas. He is saying that President Trump ought to delay his anticipated big announcement, whatever it is, on next Tuesday, to devote his time, his energy, and resources into pulling Herschel Walker over the finish line against the fake Reverend Raphael Warnock. Congressman Collins, what do you think about that advice from Jason Miller?
I think you're going to hear a lot of that. And again, I do – look, nobody – I mean, is there anybody, especially in the Republican Party, does not believe that Donald Trump wants to run for president? I mean, I think that's the old saying, the worst-kept secret around, that he's wanting to. But now we do have – and, Aaron, you hit on a great point. We're still in the middle of 2022. I mean, if we – I mean, Arizona can't count votes. I mean, Maricopa County is just simply a disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unreal. You count, 9 million in Florida in one night? You can't count the votes in Arizona in one county in 3 days? I mean, that's a problem. Everybody's focus is still on 2022, which means if we can pick up Nevada and hopefully pick up Masters in Arizona, then it won't matter as much in Georgia. But if not, then Georgia is the firewall to keep Biden judges from being appointed, radical appointments from being done. So, to me, the announcement, whatever it may be, and again, everybody assumes, and probably rightfully so, there's going to be an announcement for president. I mean, if it happens, my concern is just what Aaron just said a second ago. The focus right now needs to be everything we can do to stop the Biden agenda in D.C., and then we turn our attention to 2024. Not saying he shouldn't go ahead and do it. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. But I do believe, and a lot of people out there are saying, okay, look, you know, we know this is coming, but can you let us get through this one? Because we got real business in real time right now.
See, Aaron, and I want to pivot to those who are in political office right now, who I, during my preamble yesterday, pointed to as being the reason, one of the reasons, big reasons why the red wave didn't materialize, is you had guys like Mitch McConnell, who were actively working against the red wave with his funding choices, and then you have guys like Kevin McCarthy coming out with some of the most uninspiring rhetoric to come out from party leadership, including that lackluster commitment to America. So as Jason Miller is saying that President Trump ought to be all hands on deck, Mitch McConnell ought to get off his lazy rear end, and Kevin McCarthy ought to be down there in Georgia as well, trying to get Herschel Walker over that finish line. Isn't that fair to have so-called party leaders committed to stopping the Biden agenda?
Oh, it's absolutely fair to say that McConnell and McCarthy and Ronna McDaniel and Tom Emmer and Rick Scott, all of the leaders of the Republican Party, whether it be the election side or the elected official side, everybody needs to stand together. We still don't know the outcomes in Nevada and Arizona, but we know we're going to have another runoff in Georgia. Everybody needs to stand together. This needs to be a total Republican movement because, to Congressman Collins' point and to the larger point here, this is our best chance to make sure that we don't see another Biden Supreme Court justice, that we don't see the judiciary getting packed with left-wing activists who don't believe the Constitution is the principal document it is in this country. And we want to make sure we stop the Green New Deal and taxes going up and destroying American energy independence more than Biden already has, because believe me, that guy is a tyrant and will do his absolute best to take out as much energy independence as he can.
Yep.
Then we all need to stand together as Republicans. The party fighting can wait, but right now the blame game, all of it can wait. We have to win these races. It's so important.
Amen to that.
Hey, Chris, can I pony in one thing coming from Georgia? Right now, every Republican in Georgia who did not vote in January 5th election runoff last year, when we had both of these Senate seats on the ballot, we had a lot of people stay at home, didn't vote, mad, whatever. I just want to, I just remind them, thank you for everything we've seen for the last 2 years. Thank you for everything we've seen in a Biden-run Senate and a Biden-run House. Votes and elections matter, and we as Republicans have got to take that seriously.
Damn straight. Congressman Doug Collins and GOP strategist Aaron Perini, our guest right now. Guys, let's look at the election. I observed this yesterday, and I'm eager to hear what you guys think about this. We had 68%, according to Real Clear Politics, 68% of the country, over two-thirds, saying this country is heading in the wrong direction. We had the Republicans on the generic ballot at an historic plus 2.5. The GOP in the past, guys, and Aaron, I don't need to tell you this, but the GOP has been up minus two on the generic ballot and had wave elections, but it didn't materialize. Congressman, am I right to be suspect with some of the things we've already alluded to already about how votes are being conducted around this country. Am I right to be suspect that some things that there's not a proper representation of the ballot box? Because here's what I'm saying. The polls leading up to Election Day, either they were wrong or the election tabulations were wrong. They are both in contradiction, and they both can't be true. Isn't that right, Congressman?
I think you're looking at it, but I'm going to point right now. Look, there are a lot of issues that are getting cleaned up in elections in states like Georgia, Florida, everywhere else, and we're working for it. But I'm going to point to something, and it is the profiteering that is done through polling and public polling out there. Again, as someone who's been, I've been in campaigns and in the underbelly of these campaigns for 20 years, and Aaron can attest to this as well. Polling, I can put a poll out there to tell you basically whatever you want to hear. And what I was hearing this cycle is what's really concerning, because you see this, we got our base all ginned up saying, and we even have places like McCarthy and others said, oh, 60 seats. Look, I was looking at polling from candidates all across the country. I was traveling, and their own internal polls were not showing anywhere close to that. They were showing very close races in some areas in which I was seeing public polling. Well, for instance, just in Georgia, before the election, I think it was Trafalgar or others had 10-point lead for Herschel Walker. I mean, they ought to, look, math is simple. If you believe it, take your polling, and if you had a 10-point lead for Herschel Walker in the last week of this election, you may need to rethink your calling in life. And so I think the big disconnect is everybody wants a poll, but everybody wants a poll that sort of says what they want, especially the media is falling a lot of victim to that.
That's true, and I would like to say we were immune to that here on the Salcedo Show, but we were not. We saw the same polling that you guys are making reference to. And Aaron, look, I can tell you here in the state of Texas, Harris County, that we have an elections administrator that refused to issue new ballots to polling places when they ran out. The same problem in Pennsylvania. That's just one of the few, one of the many problems Pennsylvania voters faced. Even NBC couldn't hide that. Then, of course, Maricopa County and Arizona. You're hearing about all manner of malfeasance at the ballot box. I talked to J. Christian Adams, as you both know that name. He said the best type of system that we should be doing in this country is paper balloting with machine tabulation. And don't we have to get out of accepting days or weeks to allow losses to fester after Election Day? Don't we need to get back, Aaron, to this, hey, you have election night, you get the results, the country moves on?
Absolutely. We have seen a state like Florida, which has voter ID, which doesn't mass mail out ballots, be able to count millions of votes in one night. We are the greatest country the world has ever known, and the inability for some of these states to make sure they have proper materials, to check their printers, to make sure they have enough ballots, and to be able to adequately count leads to questions, and that is where people get very concerned about election security. It is very fair to say that the way that these elections have been administered is a detriment to the American people, because the longer we wait to find out the result, the more questions there are about malfeasance. So every state that is still in the throes of counting needs to talk to their state legislatures, needs to start making a movement to make sure that election laws are changed so that Election Day ends in a reasonable fashion, and we aren't talking it's going to take days or weeks to count a few thousand ballots in one county in one state. That is a detriment to our country, and we should be able to do better. These states know how to administer their elections in a better fashion, and the fact that they can't is absolutely huge. Katie Hobbs is trying to run for higher office when she can't even administer the current election in Arizona.
Amen.
If there's
Amen.
Ever a case to not give someone a promotion, there it is.
No kidding. Yeah, she can't even do her current job.
You know why Aaron is so spot on, Chris? I can give you one quick example.
Sure.
There's a county in New Jersey, I kid you not, the election office ordered the wrong size paper for the ballot box. I kid you not.
Oh, in New Jersey?
And one job, man, one job.
Well, look.
They didn't realize it till the day of the election.
And here's another issue, and we'll go to Pennsylvania for this next discussion. It's this election month. They actually literally have early voting for a month in Pennsylvania. And then, so what does the Fetterman campaign do? They schedule a debate until after all of those Democrat votes are banked. The biased press, with a wink and a nod, says, we're going to hide what John Fetterman really is. Then he shows up to that debate, and then thousands upon thousands of Pennsylvanians go, I want my ballot back. I want my vote back. And then there's this, guys. a man who died of blood cancer, sadly, a Democrat, was reelected in Pennsylvania. He died last month, and because you had early voting month, the people voted for a man who is tragically deceased. Congressman Collins, doesn't that have to stop?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, these are just ridiculous, and especially the way that I think there'll be books written on the Fetterman race and the absolute lack of professionalism, the lack of journalistic integrity, the lack of whatever you want to call it, ethics, morals. I'm not sure where to go. John Fetterman, from a personal standpoint, you had a stroke, get better. I want you and your family to have a long, productive life. But you do not deserve to be in the United States Senate. Not right now. We should not be paying for you to rehab while your vote counts as much as, 199 other senators. And to hide that fact and then to have a voting, link that they had and then to intentionally put that debate when they did, again, malpractice from the Democrats' point of view, they did it perfectly. But I never heard the Oz camp. I mean, they were just, begging. But it was never really brought out. And, the length of the election, we've got to get better in how we do this. But when you've got a complicit media, you got a complicit Democratic Party, you got a structure in place that sees that, it's no wonder people are skeptical of everything that we do.
Aaron, last thing. I want you to respond to Katie Turr, if you will. Katie Turr, folks, I think she is auditioning for the stupidest person over at MSNBS, which, by the way, that's saying something. Listen to her analysis.
And he ran as exactly who he is. I mean, I have no doubt that if John Fetterman were sitting here, if he were in a bar, if he were with his family in a restaurant, he'd be exactly the same person. And voters completely see through that. So that is also a lesson for Democrats, too. This is a guy, you know who he is, you know what you're getting, and that ultimately matters in politics.
Fetterman as a nominee at some point for president, I know there's some variables, obviously.
Just a few.
But I just, what he did in the super red, deep red parts of Pennsylvania and the way that he ran ahead of Biden, as you were saying, ran ahead of Trump. I mean, it makes you wonder about his future.
So Jen Psaki and Katie Turr, of course, the turncoat Michael Steele, they're chuckling and floating the idea that Mr. Fetterman, who can't even do the job of Senator Aaron, could be the next president, not presidential nominee for the Democrats, because it's worked so well with guys like Joe Biden having a figurehead up there and having these leftists make all the decisions.
Well, that's right. And that's what the sycophantic media and the Democrat Party want. They want someone that is purely a puppet. During the 2020 campaign, the analogy was used that Joe Biden would be a Trojan horse for the radical left because he wouldn't be a strong enough leader to implement policies or to be able to do it on his own, or to figure it out on his own, quite frankly, because, I mean, gosh knows he dropped out of the 88 campaign because of plagiarism, so original thought isn't his forte. But that is what the left wanted. And so John Fetterman would be another opportunity for that, but he needs to work on his health, and that is me coming from a place of kindness in my heart, because that what we saw on that debate stage was incredibly difficult. It is a man recovering from a very severe stroke. And the idea that now Democrats want to float him as a possibility and the sycophantic media again is obscene. It's the same idea that they wanted Beto or that they wanted Stacey Abrams. I mean, those two lost their races, but they're not great national figures. It's the same thing with John Fetterman.
True. Hey, guys, look, Congressman Doug Collins and Aaron Perini, you guys were, I meant what I said, part of fantastic Newsmax coverage. You guys contributed mightily. And your insights were priceless, and that's why I wanted to get you guys on the radio ASAP. Appreciate your time. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. My friends, do me a favor. Check out a couple of websites for me. First, TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas is right there. If it impacts Texas, it impacts the United States. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. You can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. That's radio. There's an app for that. You can catch it all over the country as long as you've got that app. We also stream live on Getter and Rumble, that broadcast. Also, check us out at Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Monday through Friday, always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we, the people. See ya.
So you want to bank locally, but switching is hard. And it's tough to find a local modern bank with all the bells and whistles. That's Broadway Bank. We have fast online account opening, an award-winning app with tons of five-star reviews, quick online decisions for home and auto lending, a call center with Broadway bankers here in Texas. Yes, all the capabilities of those faraway big banks, but Broadway is locally sourced and personally delivered. Get started at broadway.bank. Accounts and loans subject to change without notice and are subject to bank verification, eligibility, and qualification review. See website for details. Equal housing lender.
You don't need to be a lawyer to benefit from a legal education, especially in human resources. At Texas A&M School of Law, we built our online Master of Legal Studies specifically to give non-lawyers like you a competitive edge. With a focus on HR and employment law policy and management, you'll gain a better understanding of the legal complexities every HR team faces. Get the legal skills it takes to get ahead in HR at Texas A&M School of Law. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.